So about 18 years ago, in 2004, my wife and I had been married for about a year. We had one child at the time. We have four now, so it's just kind of been chaos since that time. But our son was, we were home one night, and my son was asleep in his crib. You know, he was an infant. And Dawn had told me, I'm going to go finish up some things and then jump in the shower and get ready for bed. I'm like, all right, I'm going to do what I usually do at night, which is go make some ramen noodles. It kind of carried over from college, right? That was the meal every night. So I was excited. I got my, I put the water in the pan and I put it on the stove. And I was like, I'm going to go downstairs and get on the computer. I need to check a couple things. So I turned the water on, went downstairs, and this was 2004, so the internet wasn't like crazy fast yet. So I'm waiting for it to dial up. And then I forgot about the water upstairs boiling. And I was on the computer working. All of a sudden, I hear this alarm go off. The smoke alarm started going off like crazy. And all of ours were connected in the house, you know. And so they're all just going off like crazy. So I run up the stairs, and I turn the corner and go into the kitchen, and I just froze. The oven was engulfed in flames. I had turned on the burner, but I didn't turn on the burner that the water was under. I turned on the burner that a piece of plastic Tupperware was sitting on. And it had been there for several minutes. And I say engulfed. I mean, it was probably half of the oven. It was starting to go up the wall. And I just froze. I was like, what? Do I try to put it out? Do I get my son out of the bed? Do I tell my wife to get out of the shower? Do I go back the cars out so they don't blow up when the fire gets to them? Do I call 911? I just didn't know what to do, and so I'm frozen. And eventually I grabbed some water and just threw it on there, which I know is not the best thing to do, but it put it out, so I was good. But have you ever been there? Not with a fire in your kitchen, but in a circumstance where you feel like your life is just a dumpster fire. But you're just in a situation that you just need to turn around. You need it to change, but you're so engulfed in it. You're just drowning, and you don't know what to do next. And so you become consumed by this situation. And there's several areas that this could be, and maybe it's financial. You know, maybe through no fault of your own, maybe through some spending things that you've done, or maybe just because you don't make enough money or in your family don't bring enough money except to just barely pay the bills. And so you're in a place where, like, I don't know how I'm going to pay next month's rent or even put food on the table. And so you just become consumed with it. Or it could be a relationship. Maybe it's a marriage or your child or your parents or a sibling or another family member. You had a falling out, or there was some tension over the last family dinner, and you're just, you feel kind of close to your family, but now you have this kind of storm within your family, and you just, it's all you can think about. You become consumed with it, and you're so focused on it. Or maybe it's a work situation. Work just keeps piling up. Right? You're like, okay, I've got enough to do, and then your boss gives you something else to do. And it's, you're going home on the weekend, and all you think about is what's going to happen on Monday at work, and you can't stop thinking about it. You go home at night, and you're consumed about what's going on at your job. It's just absolutely controlling all of your thoughts. Or it's maybe it's a health issue. You or somebody you love just went to the doctor and got bad news. And obviously, it's all you can think about. You become consumed by it. Whatever the situation may be, maybe you find yourself in that today, or if you're not, I hate to tell you, but this is how life works. You're going to be in that situation at some point. And it's so hard to not focus completely on what's going on around you. What we do is when something happens, we have the circumstance. And it creates this cycle. We begin to stress. It's all we think about. Anxiety starts to well up. When I start to get anxious or stressed out, I have like trouble getting my breath, like breathing. And it just, you become consumed, whatever this situation, whatever this circumstance is. So then what happens? You lose sleep. You stay up all night thinking about it, or you wake up in the middle of the night thinking about it because you're consumed by it. And this insomnia begins to control your life because all you're thinking about is this situation. But then you're like, there's something I have to do. I have to begin to control this situation. So I'm going to start doing more. I'm going to start manipulating this relationship, or I'm going to start putting things into place to make this work. I'm just going to do. And a lot of times what happens when we do that is we become what? More stressed. We lose more sleep. And it just becomes this awful cycle because we are so consumed by the circumstance that we are in. Now, if you feel this way, you are definitely not alone in this. This is something that has been around since the beginning of time. And in fact, about 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was here on earth, there was a guy named Peter. Now, Peter was one of Jesus' first disciples, his first followers. And he was a fisherman, and Jesus was walking by. He's like, Peter, I want you to follow me. And Peter did. Peter was very impulsive. He also always tried to control circumstances. Like, people would confront Jesus, and Peter would jump up in front of him and say, and like, one time he cut a guy's ear off, sticking up for Jesus, and Jesus was like, no, Peter, calm down, man. Relax. Peter was always trying to control the situation around him. And so where we are, where we're going to pick it up today is Jesus has just done probably the biggest miracle that we know of. And the reason I say that is because it's in all four of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it's the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus had just fed 5,000 men, probably more like 20,000 or more people. That's a lot of people in one time, and he fed all of them with a plate of a couple pieces of fish and a few pieces of bread. And it was just an absolute miracle. The disciples all witnessed this. They have this crowd of people there. But Jesus says, I'm going to dismiss them. And so in Matthew, it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. He's like, guys, you go. You don't have to worry about cleaning up here. I'll take care of getting everybody out of here. You just go. So he sends the disciples in a boat on their own out in the middle of this lake. After he had dismissed them, Jesus, he went up to a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Jesus sent his closest followers out to a place by themselves where he knew that they were going to go into something difficult, to a difficult circumstance. And they're out there, and they're in this boat, and it says that they were buffeted. And I looked this up, like, what was the Greek meaning of this? And it talks about being bruised. Just tossed around over and over and over again in this water. In our bumper, that picture of those waves was probably what it was like in the video before we started. And so imagine being out in that, in this little boat, getting tossed around. Do you ever feel like that's where you are in your life? You going where Jesus told you to go. You're trying to do what he says to do, but you just feel like, I'm just getting thrown around. Everything just keeps coming at me. This situation, I'm so consumed by it. I'm so focused on it. And that's kind of where the disciples were at this point. It says the wind was against it. So you have the waves and the wind, and the disciples are probably scared to death. But it says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went unto them walking on the lake. Time out. Not pedaling in a boat on the lake. Not like on a one of those you're standing on, right? Not like on a jet ski or a little, Jesus didn't go floating out in a tube out to him. He came out walking on the lake. I love this. Those following him are in a desperate situation, and he does whatever it takes to get to them. He goes right to them, right into the middle of their chaos, right into the middle of their circumstance. And obviously, what does it say they did? They said, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. Yeah, right? I mean, they're sitting there, and one of them's probably like, this is awful. The water's coming in the boat. We're going to drown. the wind's blowing. How can this get any worse? And one of them's like, well, here comes a ghost. That's probably how it could get a little worse. And so they were terrified, and they cried out in fear. They were scared, obviously. They're in this awful, difficult circumstance, this awful, difficult situation. They don't know what to do. They're scared to death. They're terrified. And here comes a ghost. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. And so they hear this, yet they can't see him yet. And Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. All these followers in the boat, and Peter's the only one, first of all, willing to even talk to this ghost. He's assuming it might be Jesus because he recognized his voice because he was following him so closely. He recognized his voice, and he said, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. This is crazy. The water is about to drown the boat. The wind is all around them. They're scared. They're terrified, and Peter's like, Jesus, I just want to be where you are. Tell me it's you, and I will get out of this boat, and I will come to you. I don't care that it's harder out there. I don't care it's more difficult. I don't care I might drown. I just want to be where you are. And so Jesus says, come, he said. And so Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and went towards Jesus. Do you know why Peter was able to do this? Because he had his eyes and his heart fixed on Jesus. He was like, he got tunnel vision. And he said, I know I'm in the middle of a difficult circumstance. But I'm going to focus on him, and I'm going to go to where he is, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get there. And he forgot about the stuff going on around him. He took his mind and his focus off of the wind, off of the waves, off of the chaos. He's like, I don't care about what I'm going through. In fact, I'm willing to step into something even harder because that's where Jesus is, and I want to be where he is. So he steps out of the boat and starts walking on the water. If we will step out towards Jesus, he will do incredible, impossible things in our lives. But we have to be willing to step out. And sometimes it's hard to step out into more chaos. You're in the middle of chaos. You're in the middle of this circumstance. And you just want to hide. And he's like, step out farther into something harder? He's like, yeah, because that's where I am. And where I am is where you need to be. So Peter steps out of the boat and starts walking on the water because he's fixed and he's focused on Jesus, his Savior, his Sustainer. I'm just going to focus on him. Nothing else matters. But then he did what most of us would do immediately. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. But he was walking on water. Why did he begin to sink? He was fine. He was walking on the water. He took his eyes off of Jesus and put him back on his circumstance, back on the situation he was in, and he could not get past it. Walking towards you, Jesus, oh my goodness, I am out on this water. I am not sinking. I am not falling. I'm walking on the water. I can't walk on water. What am I? And then he starts sinking. The waves are coming up. The wind is blowing, and he's fixated on it. I shouldn't be here. I'm afraid. When we take our eyes off of Jesus, fear and doubt will begin to creep in. And we will become afraid. And we'll begin to focus back on our circumstance. Now, I imagine that Peter started doing his own thing, right? I know I would. Like, he probably started trying to swim. He maybe tried to get back to the boat. He's like, I can't do this. But He was drowning. He was like, it's all about the situation now. He put his eyes down and realized where he was and was like, wait a minute. I'm nothing. I'm so weak. I can't control this, but I have to try to control this. I'm stressed out. I'm going to drown. And he's just thinking about all of the ways that he has no chance out of this situation. And I think we get there. You know, if you're in the middle of a circumstance, whether it's I don't think anybody here has ever walked on water. If you have, I want to talk to you after the service. Let's chat. But for most of the rest of us, you know, we find ourselves in these situations, and we get so focused on them, right? Like, if it is your finances, you're like, I don't know what to do next with my money. I don't know how to get to a place where I can take care of my family. Maybe or maybe not, it's because of choices you made. Sometimes we get into circumstances because of the choices we made, but sometimes it's just life coming at us. Or maybe it's that child, whether that it's your 5-year-old, your 15-year-old, or your 25-year-old, and they just can't get it right. Right? You're trying to lead them and show them the way to go, but they just keep going back to those old habits. And you're like, man, they're never going to get it right. And so, I don't know about you, but me, I start trying to control them more. I know what I'll do. I'm going to nag them. That'll get them. And then when I see him, I'm going to get on to him more. But you know what I forget to do sometimes is just pray for God to intervene. God, would you take my child? Would you convict my child? Would you put somebody that loves you in my child's path? And just give it to God and focus on him. Or maybe it is the work situation. You're drowned in work. You don't know how you're going to get it all done. You're like, I'm probably going to lose my job. I don't enjoy my job. I don't even want to go in, but it's consuming me. And you're like, I don't. Have you ever done what Peter did? What did Peter do next? He started focusing on the circumstances, but then he realized, again, I can't control this situation. There's only one thing that I can do, and he did it. He said, Lord, save me. He was focused on his circumstances. He put his focus back on Jesus. He said, I can't do this. Oh, I need you. You're the only one that can save me. God, save me. And what did Jesus do? Did Jesus say, well, tough spot there, isn't it, Peter? Wow. Huh. Maybe you should have looked at me a little longer, trusted me. How's it feel down there in the water? Why are you doing that, Peter? What's the matter with you? No. It says he immediately reached out his hand and caught him and said, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? But what's the first thing he did? He immediately reached out his hand. Several years ago, at this point, I had 4 kids, and our third child, who doesn't listen well or great, hardly ever, we were fishing, and my older two were like over here fishing, and Dane was like right here. And I was like, Dane, you're getting a little close to the water, bud. And he was probably maybe 3 or 4 years old. It's like, you're getting a little close to the water, Dane. Don't step in. And had to keep telling him. And then I turn around, and all of a sudden I hear it, the splash. And he fell in the water. And I turned around, and I was like, oh, Dane, see, now you're drowning. I told you. If you would listen to me, you wouldn't be in this situation. Now, I'm going to let you go through this a little more. I'm going to let you pass out, and then I'm going to bring you back. But no. I saw my child hurting. I saw my child in a situation, and he actually did yell at me, Dad! Didn't even think twice. I reached in and grabbed him. Then we had a talk, right? But there was no thought. A loving father does not let, if their child will cry out to him, does not let you go through that. God, sometimes people think like God is punishing me, God's out to hurt me. That's not a loving father. We have a loving father. He is for you. And if he's letting you go through something, it's for your good and his glory. And he knows it's for your good. But it says he immediately reached out his hand, and then he had a little chat. He's like, Peter, man, you just saw me feed all those people. You remember you saw me turn the water into wine? You saw the miracles with the guy in the hand? You've seen all this stuff, yet you still doubt. Don't you? You know I'm God. I'm the one that can do it all, yet you still doubt. I'm going to be gone soon. I'm going to need you, Peter. And so it says they climbed back into the boat. The wind died down. And those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. I love that when Jesus got into the boat, it says the wind died down. The circumstance changed. I'm here to tell you, I have gone through things. And I finally realized I need to get on my face before God and just beg him to show up. My children have gone through things, and I beg God, please, can you show up for them? And sometimes, the next day I get up, and it's like it all changed. Like, I asked God to show up, and the circumstance changed. Now, it doesn't always happen that way, and most of the time it doesn't. A lot of times, God's not going to change your circumstances. You may stay in them, but he is going to carry you through them. He is going to be with you through whatever it is you're going through. And with him, that's where peace is. That's where joy is. That's where we get to see him work, is when we're in those difficult circumstances. I had one of my kids going through a very, very difficult time a few weeks ago. And their response to this was they felt kind of lonely, and they came and they said, Dad, I want to start reading the Bible, and I want you to teach me about it. So I was like, yeah, let's do it. So every night at 8:30, we started in the book of John, and we're starting to go through it and teach him. And his circumstance hasn't changed. All that stuff, still going through it. But he's so full of life. I just see peace in him. He's okay with it. His eyes are focused where they need to be. And he's like, I'll go through it as long as God is with me. It's like, man, we just got to focus on him. And I think if we will invite Jesus into our boat, into our life, you will see the wind and the waves die down. It might not go away. You might be filled up, but you're going to see him and you're going to be with him through it. And that's all that matters. We are to be where he is. I would rather be in the boat or on the lake amongst the wind and the waves and the chaos, because that's where Jesus is. And that's where I'm supposed to be. So after this, everything goes on, and Peter goes on to be like this awesome disciple and follower, and Jesus goes to the cross, resurrected, and he actually has a chat with Peter on the beach after he was resurrected. And then he tells Peter, hey, I want you to help start this church and tell people about me. And then we see later in the book of Hebrews, and we don't know for sure who wrote the book of Hebrews. There's only two things we know about them, is that it was a man and he's good at making coffee. Hebrews. Sorry, the students knew where that was going, and so, but no, we don't know who wrote Hebrews. It could have been, some people think it was Paul. We don't think it was Peter, but it could have been, maybe Luke, but that's one of the books, we're not sure who wrote it. But I do think whoever wrote the book of Hebrews had either contact with Peter or heard about Peter through other people or through Paul or whatever, like they heard Peter's stories. And so I don't know if they were thinking about Peter when they wrote this, but I wonder. But in Hebrews 12, 2 and 3, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus had joy in going to the cross. It doesn't say he didn't have pain. He went through it. The worst pain anybody's ever went through on his way to the cross. But he had joy because he knew it was going to come on the other side of it. And it says and it tells us to consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. when you're going through your circumstance, there's one thing we should do, and that is to consider Jesus, not just what he went through, but the fact that he wants to be with us through it. He wants to carry us through it, to walk with us through it. And so we need to fix our eyes on him and focus on him. And so how do we do that? I think there's three things we do to fix our focus on Jesus all the time. And I think the first one is we talk to him. It's prayer. Like, talk to Jesus. He is available 24/7 all the time. When's the last time you, like, cried out to God, help me, Lord, save me. I am in an awful situation. I need your help. If you're not going to take me out of this situation, just be with me. Fill me with peace. Help me see there's going to be a way out of this. Just prayer. And I'm talking like crying out prayer. On your face. I think one day we're going to realize the best moments in our life is when we were in a place when we were on our face before him because there was nowhere else to turn. Talk to him. Also, learn about him. Open your Bible and read it. Learn about Jesus, not just in the Gospels, but the Bible is actually a story. Read it as a story. It's a story about Jesus. The Old Testament is the Messiah is coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's going to be here. He's going to be here. He's coming. And then we have the Gospels. He's here. And then we have the rest of the New Testament. This is how you live. This is how you be like him. This is how you turn people towards him. He's coming back. It's not over. It's all about him. Read your Bible. Get to know him. And then finally, live like him. There may be something going on in your life. There may, and I'm talking to people who are Christians. If you are a follower of Jesus and you have the Holy Spirit of God on the inside of you, you may be in a situation because there's something you need to turn from. Is there sin in your life that you need to repent and turn from? We are to live our lives just like Jesus did. So talk, learn, and live. Talk to him, learn about him, and live the way he did. I think that's the way that we navigate a turnaround. I think that's the first step, is putting our focus on him and doing those things. So I mentioned that I traveled to Kansas this week, and something crazy happened when I was in one of the airports. I was there, and I was getting ready to board my flight, and other people around the terminal were boarding their flights. And all of a sudden, the smoke alarm goes off, like the fire alarm goes off in this huge airport. And I thought, who's cooking ramen noodles now, right? But the fire alarm's going off, and this voice comes over the speaker that says, leave the building immediately, exit immediately. And people lost their minds. There were people trying to run past onto their plane, like to not even scan their ticket, and so the workers were going after them. There were people running down the terminal to try to get out of there. There was this door that said fire exit, and the fire alarm was going off, and so people started running out. About 40 people ran out of this door, and one of the workers comes running over and says, you can't go out that way. But I'm like, it's a fire alarm, and it says fire exit, but we can't go out there. It's not safe out there. And so he goes out there, and he's trying to get all these people back. Everybody was freaking out, losing their minds. But there was one person who wasn't freaking out. You know who that was? Me. You know why? You know who I was focused on? Well, Jesus. But you know who else? The security guard over by the door. I was just watching him. I was sitting down watching where everybody else was running around, and he was just like this, calm as can be. He was on his phone, and I was just kind of trying to read his lips, see what's going on here. And I see him put his phone down and turn to the person beside him and say, false alarm. And so I realized when he starts freaking out, I'm going to start freaking out, right? And then I'm on the plane, and we get a little turbulence. Everybody's kind of like, ooh, and I look at the flight attendant, and they're not freaking out, but when they start freaking out, I'm going to. You should be looking at Jesus. He's not freaking out about your situation, your circumstance. You know why? Because he holds it in the palm of his hand. He's got it under control. He just wants you to talk to him, learn about him, live like him, and trust him. And he may be calling you to something crazy. You're like, I'm in the middle of a tough time, and he wants me to go do that? I'm struggling with my finances, and he wants me to write a check for 10% of the money I have? It's crazy. He wants me to just stop trying to control the people around. They need me to control and lead them and just allow him to work? Yeah. Let him work. Watch what he does. When we step out of our boat onto the water where it's crazy and chaotic, we're going to see him do amazing things in our lives. And I think that's the best way to navigate our turnaround. Let's pray. God, thank you for your example in Peter and how just to follow you, Jesus. And just like Peter didn't get it right all the time, we don't get it right. But God, you love Peter just like you love us, and you called him out just like you call us out. You caught him immediately just like you will us. You sustained him just like you want to sustain us. And God, there's people in this room right now that who are going through it. There's circumstances in this room and online right now that people probably could never even share, but they know it. Their family may know it, and they're struggling. And God, I just pray right now that they would know how much you love them and how much you want to be with them through this. And I pray through your Holy Spirit that they would feel your power, they would feel your presence, and that you would just continue to walk with them, and that as we pray, that they may just lift that up to you. I ask you to work in a major way, God, that you would turn situations around, that you would turn people to you, that you would help people to see you amidst the chaos, amidst the rain and the waves and the wind, that we would see you, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.